Last time on The Atheists, the Bible, and No Wardrobe, we read from Genesis 49 verse 1 to Genesis 49 verse 33. Sadly, Jezreel, psychic of the Nile, would never play the Pyramid Strip. This sad excuse for a cold reading of relatives he'd known his whole life was his first and last performance.
Now we've never met before, have we? We have. Curtain!
Hello and welcome back to The Atheists,
The Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast. And we are finally into the last chapter of the book of Genesis. Welcome to chapter 50. And the crowd goes crazy.
Literally, they're crazy. They're tearing apart the seats.
They're tearing the seats out. They're going insane. Watch out for the Watch out for the flying tomatoes, though. Just saying.
Exactly.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Light at the end of the tunnel, and it's
an oncoming
train.
Yeah. I think it's the oncoming train because we still have more books to read.
Let's leave tomorrow's troubles for tomorrow. Just enjoy, savor the victory that is today. How about that?
I am going to so savor this because yes. I have been looking so forward to the end of this particular book.
I'm sick of saying Genesis.
Yeah, me too.
I sound like a goddamn fucking snake on the recaps, but oh well. Yeah, I know. Well, shall we jump in?
Or? Let's jump in, and it's either sink or swim now, Connie. Sink or swim.
I don't know about you, but I do know how to swim.
So do I. But I'm pretty fat now, so I kind of sink now. So,
of course, after a while, you know, I guess even good swimmers try to give up if it seems like there's no hope of something being over.
True.
We won't try to despair too bad.
Right.
Genesis 50, verse 1. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him.
Okay, I could see that. I mean, when my mother passed away, everybody else just kind of went up, looked at her. I kissed her actually on her forehead, which is the first time I kissed a dead body before. And I got to tell you, she was cold. I mean, I didn't kiss her on the lips. I didn't, like, give her tongue service or anything. Like, come here, Ma. One last deep kiss before you go.
I can't comment. I've never kissed a corpse.
I got to tell you, that's the first time. Well, see, the next time it happens, I'll be the corpse. I'm just saying.
Well.
They can kiss me or not. They probably won't.
I'll be ashes. So.
It's a service before they turn them into ash, you know, so. 50 verse 2. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. The physicians embalmed Israel. Thank you. We didn't need you. You already told it. You could have stopped. The physician told the physicians to do a thing. Then you don't have to tell us that they did the thing. We already know that they were going to do the thing. You don't need to tell us to do the thing. That fuck this book. Fuck this book. I'm done. Fuck it.
No, we're not done.
Oh, crap.
50 verse 3, and 40 days were fulfilled for him. So, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. What the hell did Jacob do that the Egyptians missed this old fart?
Right. What did he was just the dad of somebody. I mean, it's not like he did anything for him. He was the plague that showed up on the doorstep of everybody else. Said, oh, by the way, all you fuckers, hey, I know you guys are having it rough, but I'm gonna have some good shit over here because I'm related to the Pharaoh's favorite.
Yeah, it's other than giving birth, other than fathering Joseph, I don't know why they should have cared. He basically was a drain on the resources, mm-hmm. and he took some extra land.
Yep.
Weird. Yep. Okay.
That's 53.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You already read that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's fine.
Sorry. I was waiting for you to read it. It's like, oh, wait a minute. You already read it. Sorry. God damn. This book has been so. Yeah,
now
the book.
We're like, hey, guess what? We're going to do this thing.
We're going to reread the. By the way, when we get to the next episode, we're just going to restart reread Genesis from the first again, just in case you didn't get it the first time.
You know, if we read the same verses over and over, just go back and forth, do you think anybody'd notice?
I don't think that anybody's going to notice. We'll just call these all Exodus and just reread Genesis over and over again.
There we go.
No one will know. It's like, I don't remember saying that in Exodus, because it doesn't, asshole.
We should just start making our own stuff up.
I'm not even, when we get into the next book, I'm just going to start making shit up. I mean, why not? The Bible certainly does.
It's the Bible and no wardrobe. Fact check us, bitches.
There's our next shirt. Fact check us, bitches.
I wish we wouldn't do that to we're not calling our loyal listeners bitches.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of did. I'm sorry.
Hey, they know the bitches that they are.
I'm not talking about the people who like us.
Not the people that like us. The people that don't like us, those are the bitches.
If we're going to do this in the time allotted, we better move a little faster.
Right.
15:4.
And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, broken sentence.
Okay. I thought he already was in pretty tight with the Pharaoh.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I already have your shit and your land and all this other shit you gave me. You and I are pretty tight. I mean, we did sleep together last night and everything. You know, I gave you that blowjob behind the pyramid yesterday. I mean, I think we're pretty tight. I mean, why should I have to pray for this shit?
I don't know. 50:5. My father made me swear, saying, lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now, therefore, let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again.
Okay, so wait a second here. He says he digged. This is the 5-year-old writing this shit.
Yes.
I digged a hole, Daddy, in my garden. Yeah. I got to go bury my dad. Can you mind watching my things while I'm gone? Thanks.
I'll be back.
I'll be back in a week or two or a month or a year, whatever, how long it takes me to travel this distance. 50:6. And Pharaoh said, go on, take off. No, he didn't say it. He said, Pharaoh said, go up and bury thy father accordingly as he made thee swear. Okay, so he's like, yeah, your dad said to do this thing, so I'm going to tell you to do this thing. So you go ahead and take care of that thing. I'll be a nice guy and say, yeah, you can have the day off. You can have the week off or whatever to go bury your dad, you know.
He gets some family leave time.
You get a little family leave time, sure.
Pharaoh's not a bad guy.
No, he seems like a pretty nice guy so far.
Yeah. 50:7. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of the house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt. What the shit?
They basically took everybody that came with them out of Egypt to go bury this one dude.
Well, it's not just Joseph's brothers and everything. He's taking all of the servants and shit. I could just see
Pharaoh ringing the bell, going, "Hey, I need my ass wiped. Where the hell's my servants? Fuck, where the hell are my servants? They're all fucking gone. I'm in the house by myself. Where the hell?"
You know, this is like the stories about rock stars who say, I want M&Ms, but I want them all separated by color. And I have an entourage that everybody, we'll take the entire first top floor of the Hilton and
knock out the walls while you're there.
Private jet. And yes. So, shoot, why the hell does he need all those people to go with him?
Well, they all got to say their own goodbyes, you know, like they didn't have all that time, the 70 and 10 days to say it, but we all got to carry him because maybe he was just really fucking fat and they all have to drag his corpse across the sand.
Wow, this is, I, Anyway.
This is really fucking weird. 50 verse 8. And all the house of Joseph and his brethren and the father's house, only their little ones and their flock and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. Oh, good. We didn't want to take the cattle with us. What are they going to do? And the babies. The babies can stay behind. They don't know who the fuck he was. We'll just leave that.
Walks into his palace, and there's just all this. There's like daddy daycare. He's like, "What the fuck is this?"
Shit.
I'm sorry. It's kindergarten.
I guess. I think the reason why they didn't take the flock, because if he took all the flock and herds, they'd say he's never fucking coming back. He ain't coming back. He took everything. He took the pink flamingos. He took the lawn chairs. He took the animals. He ain't fucking coming back.
That's probably very true. Oh my goodness. 50 verse 9. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very good company.
Very great company. It was a very great company.
Sorry, great company.
It was a great company. We all had a good time. We're all laughing and singing and enjoying, having a good old time until we get to the place we're going to bury him, and then we'll just cry again.
So.
God.
It's actually an excuse for a huge party.
Yeah, it's an excuse for
it's
a party.
Spring break.
It's spring. This is spring break for them. I know I have responsibilities, but hey, we're all going to. Hey, you need to give time off to everybody that's in the family, even the distant cousins who are only related to him by marriage like four times over.
He's taking all the limos.
Yeah, and this they're ruining the economy there because everybody's fucking gone now. Jesus
oh
Christ.
God.
Jacob, you're a fucking asshole. 50:10, and they came onto the threshing floor, okay, of Atad. What the fuck is it, Atad? Wherever. Which is beyond Jordan. Well, thanks for telling us where it's at. And there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation, and he made a mourning for his father 7 days. Like, the time that they mourned previously wasn't good enough. Now we have to mourn some more. Great.
Well, they mourn a little bit in the morning, and then at night it's like party central.
This is drama fucking city here. We didn't mourn enough. We got to mourn some more. And then we got to mourn some more. We got to mourn some more because this is the kind of people we are, you know? Uh-huh. This is where all those Jew jokes come from. Sorry, but it's true.
Yeah, they have actually, used to have designated mourners and women who would come and wail and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something that's still done, but... 50 verse 11, and when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, "This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians." Wherefore the name of it was called Abel-Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. So,
why do the Egyptians fucking care? So this is grievous for the mourning to the Egyptians. Why they should fucking care? Who knows? Why do they fucking care all of a sudden? Did Joseph or Jacob, or when he was still alive, go around, "Hey, thanks for the land. I'm going to give you a blowjob now." He gave everybody a blowjob. That's why and he did such a great job. That's why they're going to miss him.
Well, they made enough noise that the Canaanites had, "God damn, what's that noise down there? It's 10 a.m. It's 2 a.m.
Fucking, hey, quiet down there. We're trying to sleep.
Oh, shit.
We're grieving. Fuck off." 50:12, and his sons did unto him accordingly as he commanded them. Oh, goody. Thanks. Yay.
Okay. 50:13, for his sons carried. Oh, God. Recap. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre.
Now, there's a question. Where did they actually bury Jacob? Now, this is a good question because previously, on the Bible. it says in Genesis 13, 50:13, sorry, it says he was buried in the land of in the field of Mechatron, whatever the fuck.
Mecha, Heiny Ho.
But it, later on in Acts 7:15-16 says he was carried over to Shechem and is laid in the
sepulcher,
which is about 50 miles north of Mechlefen. So he wasn't buried there. So, and we'll probably come back to this point again later on. So yeah. He wasn't, they don't, even the Bible doesn't know where he was buried. So this is what, okay, that's another word, that same word again. What is that? We come across it so often. Oh, yeah, contradiction.
Yep.
Another fucking contradiction. Where was he buried? Was buried there, he was buried 50 miles to the north or east, west, whatever. 50:14, and Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and his brethren and all that went up to him to bury his father after he had buried his father. God damn, a fucking fuck me. Fuck you, Bible. Fuck you. Just say, nope. Everybody came back from the long burial service. Why? You don't have to repeat all this shit. Jesus.
Of course they did after.
God.
If they did it before they buried him, then that would not make the point of the trip was kind of lost, wouldn't it be?
Yeah. They buried him before they buried him, and then they reburied him again. Thanks for telling. Well, great.
50:15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said...
What?
Sorry. They said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil with which we did to him. They're worried about this now?
Now they're worried about this? Like, oh, shit. Now the dad's dead. He can't hold it. He can't hold him. Our the guy that we tried to sell and bury in a well and all this other shit. And now that he's dead, he's going to be the glue that kept everybody together. And now kept the wrath of him off of us. But now that he's dead, what's to say he's not going to come after us next?
Jeez.
Actually, you know what? I can actually relate to this line because when my mother died, she was the glue that kept the family together and talking to each other to some degree. But once she died, nobody talked to each other anymore after that. So
yeah.
So I can actually associate with this line a little bit, and I can actually understand this line a little bit actually.
Well, and that's what they did to. What they did to Joseph that might still be nagging in the back of it might always be in the back of their minds that they did it.
Yeah, they know, and they know he knows, but since he hasn't done anything yet, it's like the Republicans. I'm sorry, I'm going to bring a little. It's like, oh, Obama's going to come for your guns, which he never did. So, sorry, I brought a little. Current, not quite current stuff
no,
in there, but
okay.
But it's you know it's not exactly current. It's like the whole history of the administration, and with them. So it's not really current. 50:16, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, "Don't hurt us, man. Don't hurt us." No, sorry. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying," broken sentence.
50:17. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did evil and did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of thy God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him.
No, he didn't. They fucking lied. Joseph never said, hey, dude, you need to forgive your son, because he wouldn't have even known. He didn't even know that they did this. Why would he say forgive them for something he doesn't even know that they did?
Yeah, I don't remember Jacob saying, by the way, Joseph, you need to forgive them. I don't remember what he said.
No, he never said that. He never said that. And like I said, he didn't know anything about it. So why would he need to forgive them for anything that he did, which he didn't know about? So they're lying. They're lying sacks of shit at this point. 50:18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Okay, so this goes back to the whole dream thing right towards the beginning, saying his brothers were going to bow down to him. So yeah. this is just building up to all this shit because it didn't happen once before, but now it's happened twice.
Let's just backwards engineer all of this prophecy so yep. that it, oh, wow, look at that. The Bible's true.
Yep. Reverse engineered.
Yep. 50:19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God?
What? I'm in God's temple, so why should you fear me? Because God's looking down on us at the same time. So why are you fearing me? You should be fearing God. Oh, these people are fucking fruitcakes. 40:20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God damn, this is a fucking weird sentence.
Yeah, but it's one of the favorites of a lot of preachers and a lot of yep. Sunday schools. You know, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. He right. turned it into good. And that's what God will do. So if things are really, really bad and really shitty for you, kids, yeah. don't worry, because God can turn this into something good.
Yeah, even though you're only seeing the short-sighted, the what's actually happening, it's like... let's say you get into a car accident. God let it happen because there's something good coming down your way, because God's going to make this turn it into a good thing.
And it's not to say that there isn't a certain amount of comfort that even, you know, normal secular people take from the idea that all the things in our life, they're not all good, but they all shape who we are. And mm-hmm. it's how we approach these things in our lives and right. how we deal with them that determines how our own level of happiness. But we're in control of that, not
right.
God.
Right, exactly. That's why I was just going to add that on there. Yeah, but yeah, the secular look at it, like ourselves, is like, okay, this was shitty, but you know, we'll try to figure out a way to get past this and make it into something better. Anyway, but there right. they're saying God is responsible for all the exactly. bad turning into good. It's not, you didn't do anything. It was all this basically says you don't have any control. This is an anti-free will argument right here, because they say you have free will, but God made it all the bad stuff into good things, so you don't have any free will.
Well, religion wants you to turn your free will over to God.
Right.
Also, it's like that's really all you can, that's all you can do. That's the right thing to do, and that's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
Yep. Where were we at?
21, actually.
Thank you. 50:21. Now, therefore, fear not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them.
Oh, goody. Thanks. Thanks for being nice to my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, he's a forgiving guy. I'll give Joseph that. You know, if this was a real person.
Yeah, he was a real person. Know. So far, he's being... all right, in this instance, he's being nice to his brothers, even though they were real shitty to him. But it doesn't excuse all the shit he pulled previously. It doesn't excuse fleecing all those people from all their goods and things and all that other shit.
If you only love the people that love you, then that doesn't necessarily make you a good person.
That's right. You should like, or at least be nice to everybody. You don't have to wait for them to be nice to you first.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone is an asshole to you, you still have a choice. You can be nice to them, or you can be an asshole back.
You know, you don't have to let people keep abusing you.
Exactly.
You know, but at the same time, it's like, eh.
Yeah.
So...
where did we leave off? 22?
22.
Thank you. 50:22, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt and his father's house. Okay. And Joseph lived 110 years. Just say 100. And 110 years, just say 100. It's not an 100. That's poor grammar, fucking Bible.
Yep. 50:23, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, who brought up upon Joseph's knees.
Oh, goody.
He saw his...
So he gave him horsey rides. Yay, yeah. Horsey rides for the knee.
Well, the Joseph knee thing was the... we were speculating the molestation.
Yeah.
So what, the children of the third generation. So he saw his great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
Okay.
50:24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So basically, contrary to prophecy, Joseph died in Egypt and not in Israel, which is back in Genesis 46:4. So his prophecy was wrong again.
Yeah, and why? And he died before a lot of his brothers, at least, it's implied here.
Must have been bad dates, bad fruit or something. His brothers are still alive, but I'm going to die. See, you know, that they did a study on these things where years ago where they found out where the people who lived the more richer lifestyle died faster than the ones who, like, living out in the fields or whatever, because, you know, they had even though they had less to eat, they had to be more nutritious about their meals, where these guys could just clog up their arteries.
Yeah, or they have gout or some other thing.
Mm-hmm.
50:25, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence.
Again, he just repeated the same thing here, we just read in the last line.
We're prophesying that, you know, these children of Israel are going to leave Egypt at some point.
Mm-hmm. And they're saying, of course, they're going to say, God will surely visit you, which this is the first time that he's really speaking about this. I mean, other than the last line.
Yeah. Does God speak to anybody except for Joseph and Jacob? I mean, have any of the siblings talk to God at all?
No.
Okay.
No. None of them have ever talked to God. Only Joseph and Jacob. And those are the only ones that God supposedly talked to and visited. But since they've made no mention of it before, so I don't understand why they think he's going to show up now. He didn't show up before, but I guess he's like, oh, my favorite pet died, so I guess I got to talk to those slum over there.
Well, and have we said that the relatives of Joseph were also indentured, or I kind of thought that they...
No, I think they got indentured too, to be honest.
Okay.
I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think...
Because it was implied, I guess it was, that everybody except for the priests... Okay. Well,
yeah, it was implied that everybody else was indentured except for the priests. Although I'm kind of wondering, though, because the fact is that you bring that up, that maybe they weren't after all, because the fact is they were, you know, living with, you know, Joseph at the palace there, and so I would imagine that they got the best of everything as well. So
yeah, they'd been given some land.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a little fuzzy. I'm a little fuzzy. I think that maybe no, but some of the dialogue that was previously said, it kind of says that it was, that they might have actually been indentured at that point.
Hmm. Okay.
It's a little fuzzy. Finally, the last line in this book, which is kind of fitting since Connie got to read the very first line in Genesis. I get to read the very last line in Genesis. So that's really good. I like it anyway. 50:26. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Okay, so that goes back to where he says he was going to die in Israel, but he died in Egypt instead. So, and of course, this time there's no, I'm dying, and here's 10,000 things I want to say before I kick off. Because I'm obviously not as much as wordy, or either that, or someone said, we're not going through this again. Fucking put the pillow over his head. We're not going through this shit again. Fucking just put him down now. Hit him in the head with a hammer or something.
Joseph only rambled on about dreams.
Yeah.
I guess, maybe
he wasn't dreaming. He did say where he was going to die, just like every other psychic out there says, oh, my dreams are prophetic, and I know how to do a thing because of my dream, or I just believe a certain thing that's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Oh, wait. Make those predictions for after you're gone, I guess.
Yeah. You know what? I have a prediction. I have a prediction, Connie.
Okay.
I have a prediction that there was going to be another book after this one.
You know, I have a really sneaking suspicion that you're correct.
And I have another prediction that we're going to be reading it.
What fresh new hell is this? Okay. I shouldn't prejudge it. It might be fine.
It might be fine.
It might be really great.
I doubt it, but it might be fine.
I reserve the right to be dubious.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you know what? And I also predict that some of our listeners will come back and listen to this crap again. Not all of them. Some of them will.
Gluttons for punishment.
They're gluttons for punishment, just like we are.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm not going to make any predictions if you're going to follow us on Twitter, but you can. And it's over at ABANW Podcast. And you can follow us and donate some money that you don't have to prophesize getting because you probably have a job. I'm hoping you have a job. If you do and you have an extra dollar or two to spare, you can go over to patreon.com/ABANDNW and donate that hard-earned money there. You can also find us over at Facebook at facebook.com/ABANDNW. And you can also find us on our blog over at abandnw.wordpress.com. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. You can also be sure to, and if you would like to email us with any questions, comments, love, or hate mail, and tell us how we fucked up this first book or tell us how we got the first book right on the nose, you can send it to tatbanw@gmail.com. Also, that's tatbanw@gmail.com. Also, be sure to check out our main show, Packard Pokes At, which you can also find on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and on YouTube. And you also please remember to leave us a 5-star rating and a review for us on iTunes. That helps push up in the ranking so other people can find us as well. And until next time and the fucking next book, this has been The Atheists.
The Bible.
And No Wardrobe saying goodbye and so long to Genesis.
Kicking the door down.
Kicking the door down and boarding it back up.
Dropping the mic.
And dropping the mic and walking away from this fucking book. The podcast.